Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 ray@rte.ie. Jennifer Rock, the skin nerd, will be with us today. And she's giving you advice on how to prepare for the Christmas party and get your skin Christmas ready or even party ready. So if you have any questions for Jennifer, get them into us now, ray@rte.ie or 51551. Now, we don't want to be left out of the party. If everybody's talking about Roy Keane, Claire Byrne, Joe Duffy and everybody else, we want to be in. We want to be in on the party. Yes, we do. Look, yes.
I've never seen so much dance. It's like watching Strictly. I just can't believe what I'm watching. I really can't. Brazil, fantastic. So Korea. My goodness, I can't believe what I'm watching.
Is this Mickey taking now?
No, I don't like this. I know, and he's made a point about culture and his stuart, but I think that's really disrespecting the opposition.
What, because it's 4-0, because they're doing it every time?
It's 4, and they're doing it every time. I don't mind the first kind of jig, whatever they're doing. It's the one after that, and then the manager getting involved with it. I'm not happy with it.
Come on, Roy, come on. Here we go. I want to see Roy Keane on Strictly. That's what I want to see. We've a rugby player now. We've the former state pathologist. More to be mentioned. Dancing with the Stars, Strictly Come Dancing. Anyway, that's a bit of fun, isn't it? Roy Keane commenting on the Brazilians dancing. 51551ray@rte.ie. Do you want it to snow? Thejournal.ie are asking people today. And you would be surprised that 48.2% say no, they don't want snow. Whereas 48.6% say yes. I think the older you get, you go, oh no, it's fine looking out the window for 5 minutes. And then you just go, oh no, I have to get from A to B. And then it's going to be slushy and all sorts of things are going to happen. Because as a country, as you well know, we're not prepared for the snow. We don't have the snow machines. The whole country comes to a standstill when there's a few little flakes of snow around the place. So the majority, nearly the majority, say no. It's split down the middle there. We got a lovely email into ray@rte.ie from Yvonne. It's lovely, but a little bit sad. And she says, "Dear Ray, as a golden retriever parent, thought you might appreciate this." And then it's a little ode to a golden retriever called Riley. She came to us 12 years and 3 months ago. She would have been 13 next May. She came and changed our lives. I always knew she would make a difference. I just never thought it would be a world of difference. She's a retriever, a golden one, although in winter her coat turns to snow. She toilet trained fast and got the rules of the house quick. She only ever wanted to please. She had brown eyes and we named her Riley. It matched her DNA. Our Riles always smiles. Smiley Riley. She would bring mud in every morning, the weather in every day, and as a retriever, a shoe in the mouth on every greeting. And greeting is what she did best. She was a big dog with a big heart and a big tail that would sweep a small village clean with her enthusiasm. You might be 5 minutes or 5 days gone. Still, she would be the first at the door, waiting to tell you all her news. And yet, she was the greatest listener I know. She knows the secrets of me. She knows the secrets of us. For all our moods, she was always in a good mood. She obeyed the rules until we broke them for her. She trusted us wholly. We were all she knew. Our comings and goings were her landmarks and all our inconsistencies. She loved us consistently. Indeed, for all our terms and conditions, she loved us unconditionally. She broke hips. She broke wind. She broke hearts. She showed us supermoons in the dead of the night when some fox ticked her off. And she introduced us to sunrises when the change of season confused her. She was nature personified and she was showing it off. She was the second mother in the house and the second sister. She was my husband's best pal and he was hers. We were good at sharing them. She would pull us into streams, into rose bushes, into people. Everyone was her friend and she was a friend to everyone. She made us laugh. She never judged and she lived in the moment. The only time she ventured upstairs was when she got spooked. She rarely got spooked, but it upset us when she did. You could sit in the rain all day and she would sit with you. You could sit in the sun all day and she would find the nearest shade. She never took treats from strangers, but spent a lifetime looking for them off us. She dodged arguments she wasn't involved in and licked away tears that were never her fault. She was a roller. She was a flirt. She handed us fun and a perspective when we weren't even looking for it. The only time she got miffed with us was when she saw a suitcase in the hall. Oh, yeah. Year in, year out, she's there. Every joy, every trauma and every disappointment. A presence, a breath and a satisfied groan. But then her smile got compromised and her breathing laboured. 12 years of giving was taking its toll. Yet when we asked her to lie down one last time, she did as she was told. We let our beauty go. I miss her. Already I miss the weather in the house and her mud on the floor. I miss her face at the door and the weapon of her tail. I miss the way she talks to me. I miss her search for something to give to me. I miss the way she loves me. So I doubt I will ever stand in a moonbeam without seeking her company or sit in the sun close by to her shade. Our golden smiley Riley, the listener, the giver and my darling girl. Ah, so that's a lovely ode to the late Riley, golden retriever, dog to Yvonne and her family. Hey, unconditional. The unconditional love of a dog. So that was there. And another correspondence that we missed because it was in the papers over the weekend. Usually it's a weekday. I don't know why they put it in over the weekend. But it's a letter from Santa to the people of Ireland, particularly the children. And we it's a little tradition, tiny little tradition, but we always read it out just in case people missed it in the paper. So listen up, little ears. This is from the man in red. This is what he said. Akara, season's greetings to everyone from the North Pole. Letters are pouring in from all around the world, so I'd like to remind all the boys and girls in Ireland to write and post their letters to me as soon as possible. The elves are working very hard to ensure that all the toys and gifts are ready in time for Christmas. This is what the boys and girls should do. Write their letter to me straight away. Put it in an envelope, seal it and address it to Santa Claus, the North Pole. Write their own name and full postal address in very clear handwriting on the top left-hand corner of the front of your envelope. Stick a stamp on the top right-hand corner. Post it in your local Unpost post box. That's important. It's that easy. My friends in Unpost are helping me to reply to as many children's letters as possible before Christmas this year. And a word to the grown-ups. Do get posting your cards and parcels to family and friends straight away. Christmas is getting very close now and there are snow and ice and other challenges in many places. So please allow time for your post to reach your loved ones before the big day. Wishing you all a very happy and peaceful Christmas. It's Misha Santa Claus, the North Pole. It's important that we pass that on, isn't it? So get to that. I see in the paper today that they can, you know, they can tell something about your mental health. People who usually send Christmas cards, stop sending them. It could be an indication that they're feeling a little bit down. And I would imagine, although they haven't done research, the corollary is that probably sending Christmas cards helps with your mental health. Even if you don't feel up to it, I think force yourself to do it. And I think you'll find that it will boost your mood, I think. Now, while we're on boosting people's mood and doing something positive, I better tell you about our big Christmas thank you. It's that time of the year again, folks, yes, and we're looking for you to nominate somebody in your life that you want to say a big and public Christmas thank you to. So send us an email, tell us all about this person, what they've done for you. It could be a relation, it could be a friend, it could be a neighbour, it could be a work colleague. And what they've done for you might seem inconsequential to the rest of the world, but if it matters a lot to you, we want to hear about it. So ray@rte.ie and put thank you in the subject line there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I was just trying to think of when it all started. And remember, it started with a boy. He was a student in Galway. He was around 18, 19. And him and his mum were all the family he had. She was a single parent and she had sacrificed loads and loads for him over his 18 or 19 years. And he just innocently sent us in a letter one Christmas saying, I just love you to say thanks to my mum. And we thought such a lovely letter and such heartfelt that we'd get him on, and we gave his mum just a weekend away. And that was the birth of the big Christmas thank you. So that'll give you an idea. Last year, for example, Carol thanked her lovely dad, Matt, who did everything for everyone without looking for anything in return. Adrian surprised her friend Dorina, who she called her angel on earth, and Teresa wanted to repay one of the Millionaires' kindness as she helped her through her cancer treatment. So whoever it is in your life, nominate them for the big Christmas thank you, ray@rte.ie, and thank you in the subject line there. And this year it'll be the biggest Christmas thank yous yet, with all thanks to our friends in Super Value. Take a taste of local this Christmas at Super Value and choose from over 1,800 Irish and local producers when shopping for your festive fare. And remember that every euro spent locally is worth five times more to that same local economy, with the knock-on effect. So there. Hey, 51551. Congratulations to Lisa McGee, first woman to receive Freedom of Derry. That was at a ceremony in the Guildhall yesterday. I'm immensely proud to be from Derry, she says. As a writer working in television, an industry notoriously tough to break into and to survive in, being from Derry has always felt like my superpower. Other recipients, John Hume, Winston Churchill, Phil Coulter. So she's in stellar company there. Congratulations to Lisa. And lovely pictures in the papers today from the citizenship ceremony, which was held in the INEC arena in Killarney in County Kerry yesterday. Thousands over the 2 days, people will become Irish citizens. And we're going to be speaking to one of them very shortly on the show. 51551, the Brazil dancing after goal is a psychological assertiveness on the opposition team. Delays kickoff where the opposition can score quickly, which often happens. So it's not all about strictly, as Roy said, says Patrick in Drumcondra. It's a strategic sport move, not just a dance. Now, 51551, as I say, ray@rte.ie. I'll tell you about our quiz in a moment. But first of the year, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, happy Christmas. I see that the Quiet Girl has scored an enviable 100% on the Tomato Meter, which is the Rotten Tomatoes website, and they monitor all the critics and all the reaction of audiences to movies. And the Quiet Girl is top of the heap for 2022, 100%, receiving high marks from nearly 50 critics. We had Catherine Clinch and Carrie Crowley in during the year. So congratulations to everybody there. I think a lot of people go to the Rotten Tomatoes website when they're considering what they're going to watch on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday evening or whenever. And also in fourth place, The Banshees of Inisherin, starring Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, Kerry Condon, Barry Keoghan, directed by Martin McDonagh. And for a small little country, we're punching above our weight when it comes to movies this year, and hopefully that will transfer to the Oscars. While we're still on the big screen, The Holiday. You remember that? Cameron Diaz, Jude Law, Kate Winslet and Jack Black. I think I saw it, but I'm trying to forget it. But it, very popular upstairs, and they're very excited at the fact that the old band are getting back together to make a sequel. The original, written and directed by Nancy Myers, told the tale of Surrey-based journalist Iris, Kate, played by Kate Winslet, who swaps homes with Amanda, played by Cameron Diaz, and she's a movie producer from Hollywood. And then they're both of them are a little bit heartbroken, and it's a Christmas classic by all accounts. And Cameron Diaz hasn't starred in a movie for the last 8 years or so. She was in Annie, wasn't she? She played Miss Hannigan. She did. Now, I better tell you about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and answer three questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And a prize this week, it's a two-night stay for two people in one of the I Knew It collection of gorgeous four-star hotels. They are all over the country. Kilkenny Chic Hibernian Hotel, Tullamore Court Hotel, the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, or any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. iNewA.ie, iNUA.ie. There is something for everyone to enjoy, from overnight getaways and spa treatments to elegant afternoon tea or delicious meal in one of the many restaurants across the iNUA collection. Now, on this Tuesday afternoon, here is your qualifying question. The forecast for the weather shows that we are in for a cold click or a cold snap. The forecast for the weather shows that we are in for a cold click or a cold snap. 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Neil has been on to 51551. You're taking me right back with Shane and Kirsty. Christmas Day 1998 in South Lebanon. away from our families, but with our other families, says Neil, obviously a member of the Defence Forces. And they'll never top that song, Ray. They can try, but they will fail. When was the last time a Christmas classic was recorded? Do they do it anymore? Or maybe it's just me, I'm getting older and I miss them. But if there has been a Christmas classic recorded in the last 10 years, do let me know about 51551. Now, actor Demi Isaac Obiawi, you'll know Demi from The Young Offenders, and I saw her in a Netflix film called The School for Good and Evil recently, and of course she was in Dancing with the Stars. Well, yesterday Demi officially became an Irish citizen at a ceremony in the INEC in Killarney, and she's on the line now. Good afternoon, Demi.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you getting on?
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I just assumed you were an Irish citizen.
Everyone did. It was an absolute shocker when I told people.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you don't go around going, I'm not an Irish citizen, or people don't ask you. You know, they might ask you what you want for dinner, or do you have sugar in your tea? But they don't go, are you an Irish citizen? So you just remind us, how long have you been in Ireland?
So I moved to Ireland when I was 2 years old, and I've just turned 22, so 20
right.
years.
20 years waiting for this. What was it like yesterday?
Do you know what? It was a beautiful ceremony. I seen so many people, and I don't think I stopped smiling.
Mm.
But I think it's officially going to get real once I get my red little book, basically, like my passport, with my name and my picture inside of it.
Yeah. When will you get that?
So it's like a child applying for their brand new passport. It's the same process. So mine should be in the post there soon. I should have it there within the next 3-4 weeks.
So you've been travelling on a Nigerian passport all your life?
Yes.
What colour is that?
It's green.
Green, yeah. And when you came through, say, Cork Airport or Dublin Airport, and people knew you from the telly, they were probably a little bit surprised that you didn't have an Irish passport.
So I got my first passport when I was 16. And obviously the Young Offenders hadn't happened at that point, so it was a bit iffy, you know, going through immigration.
Yeah.
But after the Young Offenders came in and you'd be flying in from Cork Airport, they hear me speaking and it gives them a fright. It's like, how is this a Nigerian passport, but you're so Cork, you know?
Yeah.
And then you've got a few people go, oh, sure, that's your one. And I'm like, yeah, can I just pass through? It's been a long journey, like.
Yeah. So I know it'll be real when you get the passport, but yesterday in there with like 3,500 others, all, you know, have worked towards this day for quite some time. So there must have been a lot of emotion in the room.
It was weird because like it took a lot for people to come in. So the ceremony was on at 1, but it didn't really start until about 2 o'clock because there were so many of us.
Mm.
And the queue went from literally outside the INEC all the way around to the other hotels. So it was a massive queue. So you're queuing up to get in, that's all grand. And then the band keeps playing. And then the army of the colours come out. And then the minister comes out. And then the judge comes out. And then they speak. And then they make you do a declaration of like saying to be a very up. It's a big wordy thing, basically, but you speak and anyway, that's grand. And there was a man from Saudi Arabia sitting next to me, and by God, was he absolutely ecstatic. I was more happy for him than I was myself. He was like, we're Irish. I'm like, I know, this is crazy. And in a minute, they said, everything is over. People booked it for the door because it's a 40-minute long ceremony.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. It was fantastic. And I genuinely have not stopped smiling.
Since? Yeah, and yeah. We've spoken to the retired High Court Judge Brian McMahon, and he's the man who is the MC for the day, and he talks you through it, doesn't he? And he explains to you how important it is, citizenship.
Yes, it's very important. Like, I always knew I needed a passport because I've been restricted for a lot of jobs that I've auditioned for. I've missed out on a master job when I was 17 for not having a passport to be able to travel to London within 2 weeks. So that was a hard-hitting moment for me, because I never really took into consideration.
Mm.
When I worked on the Netflix job, I needed to get a visa for the UK in order to work in Belfast. So that was like a shock to the system.
Yeah.
to travel on holidays, I can't just book a spontaneous trip and go, right, I'm going on holidays next weekend. I have to plan 2 months in advance.
All right.
But I seen a woman there yesterday and she was pregnant. And it only dawned on me that if I was pregnant or if I had had a child, my child wouldn't be Irish until I was Irish because of the Nationalisation Act of 2005.
So now that doesn't matter because you're an Irish citizen.
Can you? I am, but you just never think of that before.
Yes,
do you know
yes,
what I mean?
I do. Can you tell me what big job you missed out on?
I can't tell you that.
Right.
It was a big American production, that's all I can say. But okay. Let's just say I was crying for about a week afterwards.
Right, and that was because you had a Nigerian passport and it took time to organise travel. And by the time you'd organised that, it was too late. I see this guy, Daryl Vance, who was there yesterday. He's originally from America, now living in Loughrea. He says, I've just been put on the guest list to the world's greatest club. Not the poshest, not the flashiest, but the best. That was his description of becoming an Irish citizen, which is nice. Was your dad an Irish citizen?
He just became an Irish citizen just before he passed.
Ah, right. Yeah. So he's dead around 7 years now. He'd be proud.
Yeah, he would be. I cried because I realised that I would get my nationalisation without my dad being there.
Hmm. I'm going to direct people towards the School for Good and Evil because you're in that. It's a Netflix movie.
Yes.
It's great. And you're great
Thank
in it.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank
so
you.
So I was surprised to see you there. I don't know why, but I was. So that's a big enough part, isn't it?
Let's just say you see me a bit more if there's more movies coming out. I play a very important role, let's just say.
Yeah, because it seems like there's going to be a sequel.
I can't say anything.
You're right, okay. You're very tight-lipped about everything today. but one thing you're not tight-lipped about is the fact that you are now Demi Isaac Oviawi, an Irish citizen. Yay!
Woo!
Congratulations, Demi. Good talk to you.
Bye,
bye,
Thank
bye.
You so much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, in the run-up to Christmas, animal shelters and rescues are full of dogs waiting to be rehomed, be it through fostering or adoption. In the current climate, these shelters are overwhelmed with dogs being surrendered, and the message this Christmas has never been more important. Adopt, don't shop. I'll say it again, adopt, don't shop. To tell us about what shelters are dealing with and how we can all help out, Cathy Davey of My Lovely Horse Rescue has come into studio. How are you doing, Cathy?
I'm great, thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Now, where do we start? Do we start with the horse, the dogs, or the pigs? well, I suppose the dog story is one that's ongoing because of COVID. So what's your read of the situation? What happened during COVID?
It was funny, and it was kind of a lovely thing that happened during COVID. The pounds emptied. Everyone fancied getting a dog to nurture and look after over COVID. What we're seeing now 2 years later is probably half of those dogs are being sent back to the pound or asking rescues to take them in. The major problem is that we have twice the amount of dogs because we have the existing number of dogs that people don't want and the additional dogs that were bred for to facilitate the people who wanted
okay.
them.
So
it's more
the
more
demand
more.
Was met not just only by the rescues but also by puppy farms. So there was a huge demand. We heard about astronomical prices have been paid for pups
yeah,
during
bonkers,
COVID.
Wasn't
yeah,
it? Two, yeah. 3 grand for
yes.
like a Labrador or some pretend make, which is, you know, just when next door neighbour's dog got into your dog and it's suddenly a Labra popsicle or whatever.
Oh, yes, I see.
Very fashionable pretend breed.
When you saw this happening, how did it make you feel?
I mean, it was mixed because we were so overjoyed that dogs were getting to spend time with people who were home. But we knew it was coming. And every rescue centre worth their weight in gold was saying, lads, there's a tidal wave coming.
Mm.
I'm sure you heard it probably just by existing in the world, going, what's going to happen to all these dogs when people go back to work? And the dogs have separation anxiety because they've had their owners with them all the time. Suddenly they're left alone and then the behavioural issues arise and people aren't equipped with the experience because it probably was most people's first dogs. They were like, oh, now I can get a dog. And so they're being faced with these problems that dogs have that they don't understand. To an experienced owner or someone who has loads of patience and is really interested in researching and working through problems, that's not an issue. But for your average person who's like, why is my dog tearing up the couch when I go away? I can't deal with this. And this, the stresses of extra costs.
And they had a romantic rose-tinted view of what it was to be a dog owner.
Absolutely, yeah.
But they eat things. They poo places. They rip up the garden. All those things.
They are animals. They're not potty trained. Most of them.
Let's go back. So it started for you, the whole animal thing, when somebody asked you to rescue a pony, was it? Or
well, no, I was in dog rescue first, and I met Martina and Debs, who were the other co-founders. This was 13 years ago. So we were working a lot with dogs. And then, yes, there were always horses in bad situations when you were, say, part of animals being seized, say, dogs, whatever. And no one knew what to do with the equines because already there was an equine crisis and nowhere for them to go. So they were unfortunately just being put to sleep. We just decided to open our doors, and it was a new venture. It was a way of helping another species. I grew up with horses, but just as a hobby, you know, when I was a kid, I had a pony in the garden. I knew feck all, but at the time I was like, oh, I know a little bit about it. And we all learned together, and it developed into this monstrosity of wonder.
My lovely horse. So give us the figures then of the monstrosity. What have you got at the moment?
We have hundreds of animals in our care. We have three farms. We have an awful lot of foster homes. We provide the vet care and feed for all of the animals in the foster homes as well as on the centres. We have...
It's a big organisation.
It's a very big organisation, yeah.
And so what's the spread? What's the spread of different animals?
There's the horse farm, which has actually opened its doors up to dogs because of the pressure on the pounds, and there being no alternative for dogs. So now there is 45 dogs on the farm.
How many horses?
Horses on the farm is about 100, an awful lot in foster, awful lot. There's another farm in Cork, which has a large number of, not as large, probably about 50 horses down there. We have 70 goats. Then we have the pig farm, which has 131 pigs at the moment, but four of those pigs are pregnant, and each sow will have 10 to 15 piglets.
So how many are pregnant?
Four.
Four, so that's 60.
Another 40 or 50, whatever. Yeah. panic modes on each farm.
How did the pig thing happen? I just associate pigs with farms, you know.
Yeah, that's probably one of the problems, is people don't see pigs and understand their behaviour, and they became quite fashionable to have as pet pigs, and then the reality kicks in and they're not being neutered, and so you're getting multiple piglets from people who aren't neutering them, and they're under the radar as well. The Department of Agriculture wouldn't know how many there are, so we're not able to implement laws and stuff about breeding them.
So, because I remember George Clooney famously had a potbelly, Vietnamese potbelly pig, and he was photographed. That's about 10 years ago.
It is a long time ago.
Yeah. And then they were saying upstairs that one of the Kardashians or some friend of the Kardashians had
social
a pig
media.
As well.
It's like so many great things come out of social media, but so many awful things, because it provides a false picture of reality, and it's a reality that everyone wants to own a bit of that. If I have a little puppy that lives in a basket that comes with me to the shop, but reality is, if you treat a dog like that, it's going to nip a kid or whatever, unless you're doing your research. The same thing happened with these things that they're calling teacup pigs, which are actually just piglets being sold as full-grown pigs. They don't exist unless they're severely inbred, and then they won't last very long. So you have unscrupulous breeding going on.
But where do you find them, though? Where did it turn up?
So perspective is the last 3 weeks we've had to, no, probably the last 4 weeks, we've taken in 31 pigs. That's 16 being seized by the Department of Agriculture, who in fairness to them, the the vet could not put these pigs to sleep. They were pet pigs. They're adorable. They're sweet and placid creatures, but they had no rescue to bring them to. So they came to us.
And were they being reared to be sold on as pets, or were they being kept as pets? Without saying too much, but what do you think?
The truth is God only knows.
All right, okay.
And then the other 15 came from a forest in Cavan. And so they had obviously been bred maybe by two pigs over a number of years, accidentally, just someone not neutering, not keeping on track of the numbers, probably loaded into a trailer in two parts and dumped into the forest where they presume they'll be fine. But all of those guys were unneutered. All of them would have been used to have been fed by someone, and they were dumped into a commercial forest which doesn't have any undergrowth, doesn't have beech nuts and oak nuts, yes. You know, acorns.
Yes.
So it's not a good environment for them. And that was part of the department as well, asking us for help. In the meantime, we're getting requests from people. I mean, yesterday, 10 pigs. People wanted to give up a sow with 6 piglets and then 2 other people with a single and a double. And that's the average day that we have to say no to.
And would farmers not want to get their hands on pigs?
Not really. I mean, they destroy the land. Look, we have millions of pigs in the country. How many do you see in fields? Driving around.
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah.
Can you answer?
No, well,
I've seen
pig
them
farms.
In fields.
No. But they have.
No, pig farmers wouldn't take them in because of disease.
Right.
You know, so it's a tricky one. People keep it under the radar because of the fear of the spread of bad, of diseases that could destroy the national herd. And so everyone has to keep it low key. And
you neuter ones
around.
That come in, but you're going to have 40 or 50 piglets because they arrived unneutered and pregnant.
Yes.
So what will happen with those 40 or 50 piglets?
Well, at the moment we're furiously building birthing stalls for them. They all have to be separated and have access to the outdoors and be minded so they're not stressed. All I can do is short-term plan is all I can say is we provide for them now. We worry about the future, but at the moment I just want to get these piglets happy and out for Christmas.
And my lovely horse, it takes €400,000 to run. You get €26,000 from the government funding.
Mm-hmm.
So you're depending on benefactors.
Yeah, we're depending on benefactors. And I mean, incrementally, that goes up every year. And look at how much we've had to take in because of COVID. By the way, the requests for dogs to come in as well are insane. Probably 40 dogs a day people are having to turn down. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a strain on every rescue in Ireland, not just My Lovely Horse Rescue. Everyone is dealing with this, and people are going from every rescue, getting more and more desperate until there's no choice except to probably abandon them or dump them outside a pound and run away. That's what's happening. It's desperate.
It is desperate.
Yeah, I wish I had some nice news for you.
Yeah, well, I suppose the advice is adopt, don't shop.
There's a brilliant campaign that we've launched, and it's just asking lots of celebs to say in the way that they can with their dog beside them, adopt, don't shop. If you're interested in getting a dog, giving a dog a home, there are incredible dogs who are couch potatoes, who are sitting in a cold kennel, you know, because it's not in someone's home, it's outside these kennels in pounds and shelters.
They'd love to be indoors, curled up beside you on the couch.
Beside you, yeah.
But it is an undertaking, and it's quite a serious undertaking. You have to take care of this living, you know, animal. And people obviously underestimated what that took during COVID because they had to give them back.
Yeah.
So you do have to consider it, don't you?
And again, that old trope,
you know, that they're for life, not for Christmas, not just for Christmas. That's important as well.
Yeah.
It needs to be repeated.
Just do a bit of research and read some really nice things online about doggy training. Sometimes it takes, you know, 2 sessions of doing something to do with recall or asking them to stop a certain behaviour. It can be a very simple solution. But if you don't have the interest in doing a little research, you're not going to get the benefits of it. And that dog will bounce back to a rescue and fill a space they thought they had emptied.
So you have you given up the singing, or?
I don't know what I am anymore.
Right.
Like, today was my first shower in a long time for your benefit.
Oh, thank you very much.
The last time I had a gig, I was playing Trim Castle, and it was a beautiful festival, and I turned up pulling a trailer full of feed because the feed store was up the road.
Right.
I don't care anymore.
You have to work Christmas Day?
I have to work Christmas Day, yeah. Of course, every day. I love getting out and playing music, but it can only be the odd slot.
Yeah.
I've no time to write, so I don't know what's going on.
So you've given your life completely over to animals.
I have. We all have in the rescue who are full time. We all have. Yeah. It's no different. I mean, to be honest, sitting in a room talking about my trying to figure out how to express my feelings seems so unimportant compared to trying to look after. Ireland has always been in an animal crisis. And now that the word animal crisis seems like a cliche, doesn't it? It's like we've always been saying it. But COVID and the war and the shortage of funds and the electricity fear, it's just thrown everything into hyper mode.
Yeah, it's like reading through your brief today, it struck me that the whole system seems to be nearly bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's an unsustainable system that we're in. And I mean, rescues have a fear of saying unsustainable because they probably fear that they're going to be called, unresponsible for taking in too many animals. But
if they don't take them in, what happens?
If they don't take them in, exactly what happens. But the thing is, we have to look after our community. So if everyone looks after the rescue near them, then we would be a lot better off. Not just the rescues with names, even not just us. Just take the pressure off the local rescues. That'll stop them eventually coming to the bigger rescues.
Thanks to the wonderful people at My Lovely Horse Rescue, we have Len, Shaggy Wolfhound Lurcher Cross, the past 2 months, a second dog for our house.
He was so beautiful.
With Ginny, a red setter. Magnificent people working with animals. Please give what you can to help, says Margaret. So, My Lovely Horse is where they'll find you.
Yep.
To get the, and,
in
and,
any form.
Adopt, don't shop this Christmas. Cathy, great to see you, and thanks for having the show.
I wish I had something nice to talk.
No, it's
what I usually come in here and sing a Christmas song.
I know.
Can
you
I do that?
Yeah.
And undo this sorrow.
If you can give us 20 seconds of an a cappella. Do you want to do that?
I haven't practiced yet.
I don't know that one. Thanks, Cathy.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, party season is upon us. And for many of us, probably not me, that means getting glammed up for some festive celebrations ahead. Joining me now with some advice on getting our skin party ready this season is Jennifer Rock, also known as the Skin Nerd. How are you doing, Jennifer?
I'm good. Why is it not for you, Ray? I'm curious. You're not going to get glammed up and skin be looking dewy and beautiful and festively mistletoe ready.
My Christmas party days are over. No, I went out for an annual Christmas thing the other day, but years ago it used to be meet up with the lads at 8 o'clock and, you know, stay out till the early hours. On Saturday it was meet up for a late lunch at 3 o'clock.
Lovely.
And be
very
home in bed at 9 o'clock.
That's rock and roll,
yeah. But I suppose, as well as Christmas, of course, it's this time of the year as well. We haven't seen the sun for a number of months now, and we're indoors a lot more, and there's air conditioning and central heating, and that plays havoc with our skin, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I think the interesting thing about this time of the year is that people unfortunately tend to put pressure on themselves to look a certain way because they haven't seen loved ones in perhaps a year. People are flying home. So we would have a lot of people contact us through the Skinner to say, haven't seen X, Y, and Z family in 2 or 3 years, especially this year more than ever. What can I do? So I would firstly say you don't need to spend a lot of money nor a lot of time. It's really just about trying to look to see what you have at home and really upping the ante. And nobody wants me to say this, Ray, but it is the truth. Looking after what you're putting into your body will have as much of an impact as it will, you know. Everyone wants me to say the sexy elixirs and the beautiful serums. So yes, there is definitely a need to look into hyaluronic acid or ceramides or these ingredients called collodial. Ray's looking at me now like you know all of these, Ray. Just clacking them off in your head. And glycerine. Really hydrating ingredients are kind of your quickest fix. So when you're coming up to the next weeks and you do want to feel good in yourself, and we all do deserve to feel good in ourselves, then there are key ingredients to look for, whether that comes in a spritz, in a mask, in a serum, or a body cream, but they really will, they almost swell the tissue temporarily because the skin is obviously an organ. They kind of swell it temporarily so the skin looks dewier and plumper, which will then by default allow, if you are putting makeup on or tan on or indeed nothing on there, after the skin just has an undeniable dewiness and a glow.
Glow, yes.
Exactly.
That's the important word, isn't it?
It is indeed.
So say there is the Christmas work due, or people are coming home and there's a family gathering and you want to. So what about getting a facial beforehand? Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, as a facialist, I'm always going to say yes
that's
to
okay,
a facial.
Okay.
This is true.
Right.
But I think there's a lot you can do at home. So the analogy I often use is, if you think about a dentist, obviously you go X amount of times per year, you go to your hygienist. But what you do at home, i.e. brushing your teeth and your oral health, is really important. So what you do at home, so not to put pressure on yourself that you have to go for a facial when the list is as long as your arm what you'd do in the lead up anyhow. So yes, you can do a lot at home, and of course you can go for a facial. I think there's this myth out there that you shouldn't go for a facial before, example, a wedding day or something large where you're going to be photograph ready. But you can, technology has changed, skincare has changed. So when you go for a facial a couple of days prior to an event, just ensure that it's not too exfoliating or it's peel based and there's no needling involved. That will all cause what's called downtime, where the skin might shed or be tight or taut or red or even tender thereafter. So it's back to that key word for this time of the year is hydration. So you're really asking for hydrating facial.
What about if you get a spot, you know, in the lead up to the big event?
You just don't go, Ray. You just don't go. No, I just, I think people, look, and I've been there so many times, and I think people really, especially in my world, they'll put a lot of pressure that they'll look at my skin and they'll judge and they'll think I have to look a certain way. And I think so many of our clients
you
are the exact
skin,
same.
You
thank
skin.
You, Ray, so deep. No, but I do think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves for a skin to be Instagram, TikTok, flawless and filter ready. And it's just not real life. So if you do get a spot, first thing I'd say, and it goes against every bit of facialist inside me to encourage this, is the reality is you probably are going to pop it, but just treat it like a wound when you do pop it. And because if you don't treat it like a wound and you put makeup on with perhaps not the most cleanse brushes thereafter, you're creating bacteria and adding to an injury. The other thing is there are amazing spot products you can get now that you just put on. They're almost like, you know, the way you can get those kind of, when you're running an awful lot, you can get those kind of they're like bandages or compede, and that you can put them
yes,
on your feet.
Yes, little blister things.
Blister packs, exactly. You can get the exact same for the skin.
So it's like
now.
A plaster, is it?
It's like a translucent silicone based plaster, but it has active ingredients inside it. They're anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, and you cannot see them to the naked eye. So you could have it on now and I'd never notice that you have a spot. So there's a way to camouflage if it really is affecting
how you
feel. Oh,
I didn't know that. And then our lips tend to dry up this time of the year as well.
Do you know what? I was talking about this recently with an ears, nose and throat doctor. So again, would always want their input on it. But this particular gentleman who was a professor was telling me that a lot of dry lips, yes, like, and I will mention lip balms and that now in a moment, are actually because we don't tend to take note of how we breathe. So we're not filtering the air in and out correctly. So by default, our air is going through our mouth as opposed to our nose. So we mentioned this in an article a couple of months ago, and genuinely have had an unbelievable response to clients saying, I've tried to notice how I'm breathing and I lean on lip balms less. Anyway, that was one sidebar piece that I thought was generally,
so
from
if you breathe in through your mouth, you're more likely to have chapped lips. Is that it?
Yes. If you're not, yeah, and I think there's so much talk about
drying them out. Yeah.
Mindfulness and, you know, how to breathe properly is just a conversation in general. But in terms of kind of quick fix, there's a lot of petroleum jelly based products on the market. So they are brilliant for like a barrier. So if I'm going out walking on the beach or up a
mountain
or whatever.
These are Vaseline based ones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They will really like occlude the skin and they're a barrier, but they don't really hydrate. So back to those key words for this time of the year, glycerine, ceramides, and antioxidants, they really help to hydrate the skin. Vitamin C is a perfect example, or vitamin E is a brilliant example. So there are ingredients that when you apply them, they actually will hydrate the skin, not just be the barrier. Okay. So just differentiate between the two.
Now, fake tan, it's still around. It exists.
Very much so.
What's the lead-in time? You know, say your staff do is on the Friday night. When should you apply the fake tan?
Do you know what my reluctance with fake tan is? That there's this culture of tan Thursday, whereby anyone that applies a tan, usually it's just a fun term of endearment, right, if you will, for tanning. So example, you might have your social occasion, as you said, Friday, Saturday or Sunday. So people will really get ready for the Thursday. So they are their most naked skin by Thursday evening, with the view to then putting the tan on so that it lasts long. The reluctance I have with that is that we then tend to encourage this epidemic and pummeling of overexfoliation, and we don't treat the skin as an organ. So my way to treat the skin for tanning is to actually exfoliate gradually. So like everything in life, little and often tends to win the race overall. So something like an exfoliating, I really like what's called serums. So a serum for the body is lightweight and it has acids inside it. And you put that on every day and it's quite hydrating, has a little bit of acid, slough off the dead skin cells. And if you apply it every day, you're essentially hydrating and gradually exfoliating every day, rather than on a Thursday have to run home from work and practically clean your skin like you clean the kitchen counter, right? So that's one thing I would say. And then in terms of how to apply your tan, there's so many different tips and tricks out there. One of the main ones I'd say is tan tends to, because it's naturally a pigment, that's what it's trying to do, is essentially effectively dye the skin temporarily. So when you're putting the tan on, just be conscious of the areas that are naturally dry to you. So for example, myself, I'd put a very affordable, like no beautiful products, but just a lovely hydrating moisturiser onto like the elbows, the knees, the toes, the feet area, so it doesn't coagulate or stick there. Then comes Sunday, Monday, usually people try to like really hang on to this tan up until the next Wednesday. I would actually encourage you to exfoliate it gently off for coming days rather than on-off process.
Okay. Now, we said you were coming in, so just specific questions. We've about 2 minutes to get through these. I have prominent eye bags. What can I do to reduce, get rid of them, and what's the best cream to use? Thanking you in advance.
Absolutely. So I think prominent eye bags, first of all, it's socially debilitating for a lot of people. They will contact us and say, aesthetically, I don't feel great in myself. So I think figuring out if this particular person means that it's the skin itself is dropping, or is it, you'd have to see to know. So it's usually either that the fat is kind of changing positioning, there's could be swelling in the air, could be fluid in the area, or is it just dark circles? So everyone has a different version of what an eye bag means. The reality is that if it's excess skin, there's not a lot a product can do. And I think it's unfair to promise otherwise. If it's dark circles, you can use eye creams like caffeine, which really help to vasoconstrict the area, and it just gives you that less dark circled effect at that time.
Okay.
And vitamin C is always going to be a winner for the eye area because it gives that immediate clarity, but it helps stimulate collagen in the future.
Okay. My skin feels really dry and scaly. On top of that, I'm prone to spots. I feel like I need a good peel. Is there anything that Skin Nerd recommends?
This is an interesting one because it's quite, not quite unusual, but when somebody says they've dry and scaly and they've spots all in the same face, it means that they have an over secretion of oil in one area, i.e. the spots, and then an under secretion, which is the dry and the scaly. So it would lead me to ask the next question, which obviously I can't hear the answer back to, but for this person to ask themselves, are you perhaps using a cleanser that's too gel based, a toner that's too astringent, or exfoliating too much? Because usually when we've oiled, unfortunately what we want to do is, inverted commas, try to over clean ourselves, and so that can lead to the dry and the scaling. When you're going for a peel, I'd be very conscious. So you asking this question earlier, Ray, about a facial. A peel comes underneath the umbrella of a facial, but a peel can really and should only ethically ever be performed on a skin whose barrier, i.e. the top layer of the skin, isn't dry and scaly. Because if you apply a peel, which the whole premise behind it is to cause the skin to exfoliate, onto an area that's already exposed to the elements, you're going to cause more issues. Okay. So I think there's unfortunately become the reality that a peel is a great thing, but it's only if the skin's healthy to start with. So for this person, hydrate, lock it in, and be careful of the peel you choose.
So just gift ideas very quickly. Are these called cryo balls?
Yeah, cryo balls. So essentially you can just get two beautiful spoons from your kitchen press, and you can put them into the fridge and they have the same premise. But essentially cryo balls are huge on TikTok. We've a lot to thank and unthank TikTok for this year in skincare. They're essentially cold balls that when you put them into the fridge, take them out, you put them around the face area, you kind of glide them upwards. So you're helping your lymphatic drainage, but it's extremely cooling. So post your 9 o'clock rock and roll night out a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Perhaps you were tired the next day, your eyes are slightly tender.
Cryo balls.
Little bit of that around the eyes, and it really does calm the skin down.
Okay, so just let's see. So other suggestions. Teenagers, you say, get something like a cleanser or an SPF. 20 to 30s, what do you suggest?
20 to 30s, essentially, it's the key ingredient is vitamin A. It's a non-negotiable at that age. Vitamin A, no matter whether you talk to a derm, a facialist, a nurse, we all agree that vitamin A has the ability to help with that particular decades and upwards.
And your mum... What would you get for your mum?
My mum in particular, or mums in general?
No,
do you know what? I think there's become this conception in skincare where you have to perhaps buy different for different generations, and you don't typically. So it's a cleanser, a serum, and an SPF are the three pillars of skincare. And once there's vitamin A within that, you're on the right track.
Jennifer Rock, Skin Nerd, thanks so much for coming in and getting us, our skin, at least, Christmas ready and party ready. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Ish Dosha now in the pre-skeleton in Oakta, La Marian Ni Hulawan. Guramagad Marian, thank you very much. I was asking if anybody's recorded a Christmas classic in the last 10 years. Simon has been on. He says, Brian Kennedy recorded a Christmas song in the past few years that could, I believe, become a Christmas classic. Can't remember the name of the song, but when I heard it first, I thought, wow, this is it. I agree with you. It's called Christmas Morning. Just play a little bit of it. Whet your appetite.
There is nothing like a Christmas morning. Children playing and the church bells ringing. I'm just staring at the decorations. nothing like a Christmas morning.
It's one of the Christmas favourites in our house, Christmas morning, and I say whet your appetite because Brian is joining us on Friday. Yes, we're broadcasting live from Dublin Castle for Christmas at the Castle in the company of 60 of you. The room will be festooned with things, Christmassy things, and then there's the Christmas market outside, and we've loads of Christmas music and people to meet, and I'm really looking forward to that. That's on Friday from 3 to 4:30. Put it in your diary or wherever you keep reminders. Now, let's do our quiz. Press the button. We have two quizzers standing by and we have a prize, and it's two nights stay for two people in one of the I Knew It Collection's gorgeous four-star hotels. They're all over the country. Hibernian Hotel Kilkenny, Tullamore Court Hotel, the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. iNewA.ie, iNewA.ie. John Carpenter, hello.
Good day, Ray. How are you?
I'm good.
Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, good to speak to you too. You were planning on going into town, and then you said no.
Well, we looked out the window, and it's lashing rain.
Yeah, it's...
Well, I don't know what it's like out in Donnybrook, but down Irish Town, it was lashing out of heaven.
Well, when I was coming down here to the dungeons, it was just dark and dank and not nice. And not a day you'd want to be going in and out of shops. Not a day
no,
for that.
No. So I was saved.
Yeah.
I was rescued.
And they'll be there tomorrow and the day after. They're not going anywhere. You know what I mean?
They will be, yeah. Cool.
You teach painting, as in fine art.
Yes. I never went to college or anything. I'm self-taught. And the last 20 years, I've been going around libraries in Fingal, Meath, Kildare, and just enjoying meeting people and getting them to paint and draw. So that's what I do.
What a lovely thing to do, John.
Well, it's not like a job.
No.
I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. I love doing it. And it's the type of thing you don't have to sort of pack up at 6 o'clock or when you're 65.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit older than 65, you know, but I can keep doing it as long as I enjoy it.
And do you do it yourself when you're not teaching?
No.
You don't paint at all, no?
No, what I do is I go into town and I find a busker.
Yeah.
Because a busker will usually sort of be standing in the one place for a half hour. And I just love sketching where, you know, when you got the music going and you got your pens and the pencils, you know, there's a whole rhythm about drawing buskers. And you know they're going to stand there for at least a half an hour.
Yeah.
Then you taught them a few bob then for being so kind.
And you have a collection of busker portraits.
Well, I've a few bits. I'm trying to do caricatures. I wrote a book during lockdown, a kiddie's book, A Chimney Adventure, how Granddad and the two dogs saved the pool by chimneys.
Right.
So I'm trying to work on another one now, but I'm trying to get the dogs to stand still for 2 minutes while I try and sketch them.
Right. And is it a cheat to take a photograph and do it from there? Is that a cheat, yeah?
Absolutely not, and that's why I may do that.
Right,
I did that on the other one.
Right. Now you're up against Margaret Berry. Margaret has two dogs as well. How are you doing, Margaret?
We're good, Ray. All good.
Good, yourself? Yeah. The dogs are called Basil and Wilbert.
Yes. Basil and Wilbert, would you believe it?
It sounds like a literary duo or some sort of comedy duo, doesn't it?
No, Basil? We were watching, I was on Well at the time, and we were watching Fawlty Towers.
Yeah.
And my husband had decided the best thing for us to do was get a dog.
Right.
Even though I couldn't walk, but he decided to get a dog. And we Googled and a Basset Hound suited us best.
Right.
So we decided we'd call him Basil to be goofy. And he's every bit as goofy as Basil Fawlty.
Great. And Wilbert then...
But we love him. He's almost eight.
Right. And Wilbert is a rescue dog.
Wilbert is an absolute rip. And right. I think he does it in retaliation. My husband called him Wilbert. Would you blame him?
How dare you? It's like a boy named Sue, isn't it? Yeah. How dare you call me Wilbert? I'm going to make your life hell.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does every bit of that. We love him to be.
Yeah. You're going to your mum's for Christmas. And it says here that's breaking with tradition. What's the tradition?
Yeah. Tradition is usually we go to Mass.
Yeah.
First Mass, Christmas morning, come home, put pyjamas on, light the fire, cook dinner, have a couple of bottles of Prosecco. We're in bed by 9:30.
Right.
With the dogs.
Mad things.
That's usually
But this year you're going to your mum's. And is she cooking?
This year we're going to Mass. Oh, she's coping, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. You can put the feet up. But then you'll have to leave there some stage. That's the only thing, won't you?
Maybe a few days' time.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
No, my mum is like the typical Irish mammy. When she gets you there, she won't let you go home.
Right. Fair enough. Right. Now, so it's three questions each, John and Margaret. If you go for a long question, you get a point. If you go for a shorter question, if you go for a shorter clip, you get 2 points because it's more difficult. Whoever gets the most on points is the winner. And if the drawing points, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go. So to
good
you,
luck, John.
Good luck to you, Margaret.
John, to
you.
So, first question for you. The year is 1999, and we're starting at the movies.
Yeah.
So, would you like a long clip or a short clip?
Give me a short one.
Okay. A frightened, withdrawn boy who communicates with spirits seeks the help of a child psychologist. Can you name the movie? Here's your clip.
Dead people, like, in graves, in coffins.
Walking around like regular people.
I know the movie. I can't think of it. No, I have to say no.
No, not coming. The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Remember it well.
And it made a child star of Haley Joel Osment. He was the star of that. And Bruce Willis in it as well. Yeah, I see dead people. The Sixth Sense, right. Okay, early days. Margaret, movies from 1999. What do you want to do, long or short?
Short, please.
Okay, in 1999, this romantic comedy set in a high school centred around prom night and who would be crowned prom king and queen. Can you name it? Here's your clip.
Thought we were going together. All right, Zach, enough's enough. This isn't cool anymore. I like this girl and you gotta stop this whole bed thing.
Well.
Haven't a clue.
No, I wouldn't have either. She's all that. She's all that. Okay. Well, that makes it even. So no points on the board. And we're back to you, John, for your second question, which is on music from 1999, 23 years ago. Do you want to go long or short?
Oh, I think I'll go long after the last one, yeah.
Okay. This rather large group released their debut single in 1999. Joe, Hannah, Tina were among them. Can you name the group or the song? The group or the song?
Well, I'm going to take a guess. I'm really from the 60s, you know.
Okay.
But I'm going to take a guess, a total guess at Steps.
Do you know you're in the right ballpark and everything, but it's not Steps. It's S Club 7. You know, so they're one and the same, really, but not right there. Okay. Margaret, a chance for you to go in front now. Do you want to go long or short?
Short.
Short, okay.
Short.
The Spice Girl released her first solo single this year. Can you name which Spice Girl it was or the name of the song? Short clip. Good looking, bad tasting.
Look, I'm just going to say, Jerry.
Yes, it is Jerry. Ginger Spice. You get 2 points for that. That puts you in front. Yeah, it was well done, wasn't it? Because that was a short clip. Now, John, you're under pressure. So you need to go short on this one and hope that Margaret falters on her final question. It's news and current affairs from 1999. So I take it you're going short.
Yeah, definitely going short.
Okay.
Yeah.
This news report heralded the beginning of a change in the way we shop. What are they talking about? Here we go.
Most of us still do our shopping on main streets around the country, but it's becoming clear that the latest developments in technology are going to affect businesses like those around me.
What's he talking about?
Online shopping.
Is the correct answer 2 points? You're on the scoreboard, John Carpenter. Well done. And for the next few seconds, you're even with Margaret. Okay, but Margaret, you have your final question in hand. If you get anything from this, you are today's winner. What do you want to do, long or short?
Short.
You're going short again? Okay. In November 1999, something new arrived on the Liffey in Dublin making the news. What was it? Here's your short clip by way of a clue.
In the end, the manoeuvre took less than half an hour. Adjacent to the Halfpenny Bridge, it will feature a silver aluminium deck and an aluminium bronze handrail.
A ship?
It's not a ship. It's not a ship. It was reference to the new footbridge, which was called the Millennium Bridge. Well, it's still there. So look at where that's got us. It's 2-2. It brings us to a tie-break question.
So,
we asked you this question before we went on air. I'm going to repeat it now for our listeners. Whoever answers closest to the correct answer is today's winner. Good luck to you both. And the question was, how long would it take you to drive from Killarney National Park in Kerry to Glenveagh National Park in Letterkenny, County Donegal? And that's according to Google Maps. And John, your guess was?
I was guessing at 3 hours 40 minutes.
You say 3 hours 40 minutes. It's 465 kilometres. And Margaret, your guess was?
322, I think.
322, right. So both of you are a good bit off the mark. The actual answer is 6 hours and 6 minutes, which means that John, you're closest to the correct answer. Sorry about that, Margaret.
Oh, fair play to John.
Yeah, sorry about that. Listen, Margaret, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup to Treasure. Enjoy the Christmas at your mum's, and lovely talking to you. See you, Margaret. Bye now.
Bye.
John Carpenter.
Look, Margaret, bye.
John, well done. You can now go to inua.ie and decide which of their many 4-star hotels you're going to stay in with a person of your choice. Okay? Well done, John. Good talking to you.
Fantastic.
Mind yourself. See you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it's that time of the year when not just Santa's elves are very busy, but the QI elves have been extremely productive. They're the clever people who find out the facts and figures for the BBC Two TV show QI. And they've put them all together in a book, as they do annually. This year's edition is called 221 QI Answers to Your Quite Ingenious Questions. And two of the QI elves join us now from BBC Wogan House in London. James and Tara, good afternoon.
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Hiya.
Good to talk to you. You sound like elves. Have you got pointy ears? You do. Yes, of course you do. Now, James, we've been talking about dogs a lot today. We got a lovely email from one of our listeners about Riley, the smiley golden retriever. So we're interested in one of the questions, particularly about dogs in the book. Can dogs tell time?
Well, we think that Smiley Riley might be able to tell the time to a certain extent. The reason being that when you go away for the day and you come back, people will find that the dog is kind of waiting for them when they get back. And what we think is that is because the amount of your smell in the house kind of dissipates as the day goes on. And by the time it knows that you're coming, it's because the level of smell has come to a certain level. And we kind of know that because they did an experiment, BBC Two's Inside the Animal Mind did an experiment where they put loads of sweaty shirts all over the house, and when they did that, the dog didn't know when the person was going to come home, so they think that kind of hid the smell of the person.
Ingenious experiment. Ingenious.
Incredible.
Tara, I don't know if you know this, but we have the world record for the most Eurovision Song Contest won ever. Seven times we've won it.
I do know that. Yes. We have a bit of catching up to do over here, don't we?
You do. No, it hasn't happened for us in quite some time. So we're interested in the answer to this question. What sort of songs tend to win the Eurovision?
Well, it's hard to say only a specific kind of song actually wins Eurovision. I mean, you look at the last 5 years, we've had Ukrainian folk rap mashup, an Italian rock anthem, Dutch piano ballads, the list goes on. There are a few misconceptions that only upbeat, happy songs will win. But there was an analysis done by Chris Lockery that showed over the past 20 years, twice as many songs written in like a moody minor key have won rather than the light and cheery ones.
Right. And that Euro song sort of pop dance thing of around 128 beats per minute that we've put forward a good few times, that's a no-no.
It's supposed to be a surefire recipe for disaster, actually. I think 7 of the songs that have come last over the last couple of decades have had a tempo of about 128 beats. So it's not the thing to go with.
Okay. We're fond here of the key change as well.
Yeah, that is always supposed to be a hit with the judges. But again, no song with a key change has actually won since 2007. So
we need to apply the science, as do you. Although he did very well. In fairness, Sam Ryder came second to Ukraine. That's your biggest hit in a long time, isn't it? James, why do people get confused with their left and right and don't get confused with up and down?
Well, we're not quite sure about this, but what we think is that the thing is with left and right. I'm sat opposite Tara right now, and my right and my left is different than her right and her left, so it's quite difficult to know which one we're talking about. And the thing is with up and down, all I have to do is drop my pen,
which
and I know which one's
good,
up and down.
Very good. You can lift it up now. It's like when you're putting speakers on your Wi-Fi, or your Hi-Fi, I should say, not your Wi-Fi, and it goes left and right. Is that left and right as you face it, or do you take the position of your amplifier or whatever and turn
Absolutely.
Towards... Yeah, well, what's the, I don't know.
For us, it's always stage left and stage right. That's what we say.
But what is stage left and stage right, you see? Is that actual left or actual... Anyway, confused, you should be. Now, Tara, are you wearing jeans today?
I am.
Do they have pockets?
They do, but they might as well not.
Why?
Because they're absolutely tiny.
Oh, okay, right. You do answer the question in your current book, 221 QI Answers to Your Quite Ingenious Questions. Why don't women's clothes have pockets? And I suppose that's in the main.
Yeah, I think women have been wanting bigger, more convenient pockets for centuries, haven't we?
Well, I'm turns a man.
Out, all right, rub it in. It turns out in 17th century Europe, women's pockets were actually detached from their clothes. So they were more like little pouches that you could tie around your waist. Mm. And they were much bigger. There was a case in the Old Bailey in 1777 where a woman stole two live ducks and hid them in her pockets. Don't think I could get away with that now. But once you reach the 1800s and women's clothing becomes more form-fitting, no one really wanted a bulky pocket on their side of the hip. It also restricted women. If you couldn't carry around small items and necessities, it limited your freedom. And as a result, when women started to demand the vote, they actually also started demanding pockets as well.
Right.
It doesn't appear that anyone's listening, sadly.
Although, like, most leggings now have pockets. That's recent enough development, isn't it, in...
Yes, but what can you put in them?
Well, mobile phones, I see, mostly are put in them. Are they? I don't know. Anyway, this fascinates me because we once had a guy who suffered with hiccups for, I think, over a year. He was an English guy and we kept in contact with him. So what are hiccups for, James? Why do we hiccup?
Oh, well, the thing is, we don't really know why we hiccup. Certainly, we know what is happening in our body. You have a diaphragm, and what is happening is that it's clenching together. The muscles are clenching, and you don't really want it to. But that sucks air into the lungs. But at the same time, your epiglottis, which is kind of a flap at the top of your trachea, that is closing. And so you've got it trying to suck air in one way, but kind of blocking the air in the other way. And you just kind of make this hick sound in the process.
So is it an evolutionary leftover, do we think?
Well, there is a theory that maybe it's from when we all used to live in the water before we all came out onto the land millions and millions of years ago. Perhaps it was a way to stop us from drowning in those times, but no one's really certain.
So it's sort of a safety valve system. Could be.
Yeah, I think that's the idea.
Yeah. And all these things that we do when we do get the hiccups, you know, drinking out of a glass backwards or trying to give ourselves a fright, which you can't do because you know it's coming, or all those sort of things. Do any of them work scientifically?
I think scientifically not. I think it's worth trying. If there's something that works for you, why not? Usually it's just because it kind of takes your mind off the hiccups. Mm. But there is a thing that in 2021, I actually bought some of these. There was like a drinking straw that they invented and it had a special valve in it. And if you drank out of it, it's supposed to help your hiccups. And apparently it worked in 92% of people. But unfortunately, since I bought it, I haven't had hiccups since then.
Have you not?
So I can't say whether it works for me or not.
Is there a world record for the person who's had the hiccups the longest?
Oh, I don't know, is there? I think that it might be in our book if there is, because we've got loads of extra little facts in there.
Yeah, there's a guy called Charles Osborne.
Charles Osborne, yes. Yeah, for years and years and years,
He started hiccuping while carrying a 350-pound pig in 1894. you shouldn't laugh. It's a terrible condition. That's chronic hiccuping, that is. The hiccups lasted 68 years, only disappearing a year before he died. Doctors believe it must have been caused by him bursting a blood vessel in his brain while lifting the pig. So there
well,
you
now
go.
I feel terrible for having laughed at that.
Yes, there you go. Well, he's long since dead, so you're sort of half fine. speaking of laughing and smiling, and Tara, in the UK and in Ireland as well, you're not allowed to smile in passport photos. What's the thinking there?
Yeah, so general guidelines say to make sure your expression is neutral, do not smile, close your mouth, and look straight at the camera. It's just because facial recognition software is more effective when people's mouths are closed. Although in 2016, there was a French civil servant who went to court asking that people be allowed to smile in their photos. He thought a Mona Lisa-style smile would give the country a morale boost and that the rest of the world would get a better impression of France. But sadly, the court ruled to keep the no smiling rule.
It'd be a nice thing, though, because, you know, I look very serious in all my photos and my driver's license and my passport. I don't know about you, but, you know, you sort of, you don't want to share it with anybody, really, do you?
No, not particularly.
No. So we start a campaign. Let's bring smiling into passport photos.
I think the problem is, Ray, that by the time you get to the airport, usually after a long journey, you don't really feel like smiling much, do you?
Yeah, true for you, James. True for you. Can an airplane fly through a rainbow? We don't have much time left now. So, James, what's the answer to that one?
It can fly through a rainbow that you're looking at, but it can't fly through a rainbow that the pilot is looking at because everyone sees a different rainbow. And for the pilot, the rainbow just gets further and further away.
Okay. Tara, the world's most difficult tongue twister.
The Guinness Book of World Records used to list the sixth six shakes, sixth sheep sick as the hardest tongue twister in English.
Say that again.
Why would you do that? Supposed to be the hardest one in English. They don't actually keep track anymore. There was a team at MIT in 2013 who were researching tongue twisters, and the one that most of their participants gave up on was pad killed, poured, curd pulled, cod.
You're very good at this.
Which I don't think is that bad.
No, I think the other one, the sixth, I won't even go there. Okay. Anyway, if you want to try yourself out on those tongue twisters, 221 QI answers to your quite ingenious questions. We've been speaking to two of the QILs, Tara and James, this afternoon. Thanks so much, lads. Thank you very much for coming into Wogan House. Mind yourselves. That's it from us. Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.